precious Lord, precious Lord.
Thank you.
Oh!
appreciate everyone tonight, and appreciate everyone that went to either Sister Richie's viewing last night. Several of us went last night, and some went to the funeral today, so I know everybody can't go on work days, but I know they appreciated it. I sure want to keep praying for Brother Richie. He's going to be lost for a while. And Brother Crow, I didn't. Brother Pryor, you just went up and seen him. How's he doing? He is wanting. He told me, he said, tell the whole church to come see me. I'm lonesome. So he's ready for you to come see him. He's probably going to get to go home in a few days. I think they found out instead of, I don't know if he actually had pneumonia. It looks like to me probably they found out when he fell that fluid actually filled up in the sac outside of his lungs and filled up. It was bruised and caused some bleeding. And so they drained. They finally got a drain in that and started draining it. And I think he's doing better. But we need to keep praying. I know he's somewhat, confused as far as his recall of everything. And I know Sister Crow's worried a little bit about that. So let's keep them in our prayers. For their age, well, they're doing good. What else do we have here tonight that we need to pray about? Brother Dodson and Natalie's got the flu. All right. Brother Al. Sister Elsie, yes. Let's keep holding her up. Sister Pat Authors, keep her in your prayers. I mentioned Sunday that she worked. And Lord, terrible. She's probably not going to live too long, according to the doctors. Sister Sandra. All right. Jerry's homesick. Both Jerry's. She's here. They took your places. All right. Brother Boyd. All right. Well, we've got several out tonight, Brother Mike. Report. What else? Sister Cindy. All right, good. Her mother was able to go home yesterday. So that's good. Keep praying for Brother Durham. He's coming up out of it, but let's keep him on our prayer list. When you hear him talk again, surely he'll say something before long. All right, let's ask God to help us with these needs here tonight. The ushers will come. All right, let's all stand and ask God to help us with these needs. Precious Lord, God, we love you tonight. We're thankful for your goodness. Oh, God, ask you, Lord, to meet these needs. Sister Elsie, Lord, touch her. Oh, God, work in your will to heal her, Lord. That's our petition. Sister Pat. Oh, God, touch her. Yes, Lord, we're asking you, God, to touch her and give her a healing, if you would, Jesus. I know you're able. Oh, God, blessed Lord, blessed Lord. It's Brother Jerry York tonight, Brother Crow. Let him get over this, Lord. Touch my mother. Help her, oh, God. My wife, God, touch her. Each one that aren't here tonight, Jesus. Oh, precious Lord, touch Brother Richie, the Richie family, Lord, and that assembly. God, comfort their hearts and help them during this time of sorrow. Precious Lamb of God, precious Lamb of God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Precious Savior, Sister Natalie. Touch her, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Touching Brother Durham, oh God. Help him, Jesus. Oh God. Amen, amen. All right. Lord bless you as you give tonight.
his life, his gospel, but he may not really feel up to it. But I do appreciate what God is doing in his life, and appreciate even having an opportunity to serve God. I was just thinking we're serving a God that, of course, we read a lot of things about him in the Bible. A lot of things that he did for his people, and then a lot of things that prove that he rules in the kingdom of men. And I was just thinking, sitting, you know, tonight, just thinking, you know, we are serving, you know, whether I see the Red Sea open or not, or whether I see even blinded eyes open, I've seen some people's lives touched, and it had to be God that did it. But but we get to serve this. I'm a part of what God is doing. You know, I'm a part of his plan. This kind of God, this is the kind of God that I'm serving. You know, I don't want to serve him just because of his power, because of his might, but I want to be a part of his kingdom, just to be on his team. You know what I'm saying? Whether, you know, I get to see his power demonstrated in this world, just to know that, you know, just to know that we are serving that kind of God. You know what? He can, and he has, and he does things for us, and I just feel good just to be on his team, you know, be a part of what he's doing, and to be able to, you know, like I say, we went to see it's a play down in Hot Springs called The Witness, and it was about the last week of Jesus' life, and of course the main character, and it was Peter, you know, because he, you know, it's a musical, but it talked about being there, you know, witness. You know, I may not have witnessed some of those great things that Jesus did on the earth. You know, he walked here among men. Brother Smith was saying, he was talking just before the service, you know, God, Jesus, God knows, Jesus also. He knows what's in man, first of all. You know, he doesn't have to get worried about anything. He don't have to, you know, nothing exalt him. You know, I mean, just the fleshly man, whatever he does. I was in the military, and I was in, I remember when I graduated from high school, with a small school, and a lot of struggles to get out of high school and even graduate. But I remember I felt, you know, pretty good about myself being, you know, not top of class, but, you know, amongst some of the top ones. But I remember when being in there among people, I've been around some, you know, my IQ was like average, you know, no big deal. But I've been around some smart people when I'm getting that. People that you know, didn't have to do like I did. I had to study. I had to cram, and I had to do everything just to get up to par, you know, just to make it. But I was around people that was, I guess you'd say they was geniuses. But anyway, I've been around those kind of people. I've sat in classes with, I went to a lot of classes in the military, electronic classes, and also even after working, you know, with the phone company. I went to a lot of schools, and I've been around some smart people. But just to, you know, that could puff, you know, I've seen people get puffed up because of what their knowledge or their somewhat kind of a wisdom they had. But I don't believe Jesus had a problem with that. I don't believe, no matter how smart man got, I don't think it affected him. I don't think he knew what was in man. He knew man's nature. And I'm getting acquainted with it myself. And I can get to where, and I'm thankful that you know, when you get to know yourself a little bit, you can say, well, I know I'm not that smart. And I know a lot of people a lot smarter. But you don't have to be, really. I mean, just enough. You know, if you're just average, I mean, you have to be enough to be able to try to understand. I was reading the Old Testament where I believe it was when the children of Israel came out of Babylon back into Israel, and I don't know if it was Zerubbabel, but one of the priests was on one of the feast days reading from the Bible to them, and it was talking about, it was the whole, like the parents, the children, everybody was having to listen while the Bible was being read. And I'm trying to remember, the statement was made to make sure they understood. Read it, not just reading it, but he just talked about the Bible to make them understand. God wanted them to understand. And I think it don't have to be, like I say, Einstein to understand God's word. I believe God, if he's given you any kind of a mind at all, I believe God can help us even with that. Even if I wasn't up a par mentally, but I believe God can even help us. But he wants us to understand. That was the point that I was getting from what the priest was reading the Bible. It seemed like he was wanting them to understand. You know, because God had rules, he had laws that he wanted kept. You know, he wanted them to understand how he felt, you know, about things and what he wanted done. And I think he still wants us to understand, you know, about him. And that's why I appreciate this group of people that we're trying to learn. Jesus said, learn of me, you know, learn of him. You know, we talked about him being meek and lowly and all that, but learn, you know, not just that attribute of being humble, meek, and lowly, but to be able to follow. You know, I was singing that song about where he leads, you know, about being led. You know, God wants us to be able to follow. You know, I have to be able to understand a little bit to follow God's ministers that are leading the way. And to understand that I need that. I need to be able to follow. You know, you ever been in places where people, you know, not following directions and they're not. I want to be, like I said, be a type of material, a person that can follow direction. I've done things that where I didn't follow direction. I've done things, just a little simple thing, you know, putting things together for children. You know, I remember putting a tricycle together, and I didn't follow directions, and I put the pedals on before I got the axle. You know, you have to have the wheel inside the fork or the tricycle. Don't put the pedals on before you get the wheel. You know, get the wheel on. You know, that's not good. That's not a good plan. But anyway, I didn't follow directions, but I had direction, but I just didn't follow. But I think God is wanting us to follow his directions and to to even have a spirit to where, you know, I may not, you know, I know I don't know, you know, altogether what God is trying to take us, you know, where we're trying to go from here. You know, I'm thankful for where he's brought us from, but I know there's a ways to go, and I want to go. I want to go with God, and I want to be able to follow him as he's given me men that show me the way. You know, while he is showing me the way to go, I want to be able to follow the Lord, follow his leaders. And Brother Leninger gave us so many things about, you know, following, you know, that one book that he talked about, the seven habits of what affect seven effective habits or seven habits of successful men was that. But anyway, one of them had to do with following the leader. You know, he said sometimes, you know, just you know, you can get it, you can have a attitude of just, you know, following the crowd. That's not altogether good, but you need to follow the leader of the crowd, not just the crowd. But anyway, I want to have the right attitude about what God is doing, and I want to go with God, and don't get so concerned. You know, I wish I remember how he, on this one point that I was trying to get at, how that he talked about, you know, working and getting busy with the work, you know, like clearing away. But he said somebody has to get up sometime high enough to see how, you know, where we're going. You know, you can get busy down here working, clearing, you know, the way we're going, clearing the pathway that we're traveling, and get busy with that. But somebody got to be able, are we doing good clearing this, but are we headed in the right direction? So somebody has to get ahead to be able to see, yes, we're, you know, somebody. I remember this little point. And that's what I want. I want to be able to follow when the leadership is telling me this is, I want to be able to see it too. You know, I have a spirit about me to be able to sensitive enough to be able to, you know, I can get to a point where I think I know. You know what I'm saying? Without having to listen to anybody else. And I don't want to have that attitude. I want to be able to realize that unless, you know, I'm shown, unless I have a spirit to be shown, then I may not be able to go this way. And I want to get that. I want to have that kind of spirit to be able to, because I appreciate, you know, where we've come to and where we are and where we've been. But we got to go on. And that's what I want to do. I want to go on with God's people. I want to be where, you know, they said when the roll is called up, gentlemen, I don't want to be there. You know, I want to be with God's people. You know, I want to be a part of what the Lord is doing. And I know I have to keep my senses exercised. You know, I have to be sensitive to the things of God. I have to be able to, you know, let things callous go over. You know, let my spirit get calloused over by things that happen. You know, we're in a time when things happen all around us, you know, with troubles and problems and all kind of things that are going on, and they can affect me. But I have to realize that I can be affected by the cares of life. That's one of those soils that seem like it catches a lot of people, you know, the one that throwing the ground, the cares of life. And we have, you know, we do have cares. We have things that we're concerned about, that we're responsible for, and people do call on us. I want to keep my vision keen enough to be able to keep trusting God, keep my focus on the Lord, and to know that if I make it, it's going to be because of Him. It's going to be because of the Lord that's in my life, that I'm relying on. I'm putting my emphasis. I'm stressing, you know, these things and lifting them up, you know. But regardless of what goes on, we get involved with all kind of things. My family. I got, like I said, a big family, and we all have all kind of problems, cancer and sicknesses. Got a niece that was here in Little Rock a week or so ago. That's not doing. She's doing better. She's home now, but she was here at the hospital up here at UAMS. Another nephew called me today, and they just. He's at Memphis Hospital, and it just, you know, just sicknesses and just, you know, things in life, and just, but I want to have a careful, you know, but you know what I'm saying? I can see my limitation as far as how much can I do. You know, somebody call you and hand you a pretty good burden, you know, and it's people that you care about. You know, you have a loved one that you are concerned about, and you want to help them, but you know you have limitations. And sometimes words can help. Sometimes just speaking encouraging words. But at the same time, you know, you may not be, you know, what I have to do is just realize that if I can just hang on to my trust in God, if I can just hang on to what God has let me see. You know, I've seen, you know, people begin, you know, sometimes if you just, I don't know why I take a lifetime sometimes to see things, but sometimes it's living a while, you can see, you know, I don't like to compare things too much, but you can see people that their lives been blessed by God. And you know that God has been in their life. And I was thinking about Sister Richie. They was talking said a lot of good things about her today, and she suffered a lot, but a lot of things they were saying about her spirit, you know, through all the suffering that she suffered, that her spirit, you know, I wasn't around her all the time, but they kept stressing, you know, that she was not a complaining person. You know, I'm not saying she never complained, but from their talk, I hadn't heard her complain. But But she was able to weather the storms in her life and be able to go on. You know, we've seen in church and pray, trying to pray God, praise God with arthritic conditions in your body where you just hurt just to raise your hand. Just to be able to raise your arm, it hurts. But anyway, just to see people push past that and keep praising God and keep going on and keep putting God in their life. Keep doing the things, you know, reading his word and staying positive. You know, I know you've seen bitter people. You know, they seem to get bitter because of things happen in their lives. But to see somebody take those same conditions that would maybe make somebody else bitter, but it makes them better. It makes their spirit better. And, you know, Brother Tuck used to talk about this lady. Her name was Sister Whitaker. I think it was Whitaker. But he talked, she had cancer. She died of cancer. And I don't think she was faithful here at this church, but she kind of turned this direction, I guess, at the last of her life. But anyway, he kept talking about her spirit. You know, she was suffering. She was dying with cancer, but she had the sweetest, he always said, she had the sweetest spirit. You know, through all that, she was suffering. And, you know, sometimes, like I say, you know, you look at people and you think, well, man, I wish, I would heal that person. But, you know, God knows what's best for them. You know, God knows what, otherwise, if I don't, you know, I would say, I don't really need to see a Red Sea miracle to keep me serving God. I don't have to see that because I believe God, I just know that he can do it. I feel satisfied just knowing that God can perform these miracles. You know, to me, it's a satisfaction just to know that he can do that. And I believe it. When I began to read all these things in the Bible, I believe it. I believe God actually did that. Now, whether he do some of that in my lifetime, I don't know. But I want to keep trusting him because just knowing that that's the kind of God we're serving. Knowing that he can do these things and he is possible. But yet, he still, these other things that we suffer, things that we go through, is part of his plan as well. That's some of the things that we probably need in our lives. And I want to accept that. I want to be able to accept if it takes suffering, which we know it does. That's part of the baptism of fire that we talk about. Suffering is part of that. And we have to have that part too as well to be able to be who God wants us to be. To be able to... I hate it takes that, but it just takes that. You know, that kind of nature we was born with, it takes some suffering to be able to appreciate. You know, they say appreciate the sunny days. You know, you need to have some rainy days to be able to appreciate the sunshine. But I do appreciate the Lord tonight and appreciate having such an opportunity to serve a God that we serve. To be able to know, you know, an all-knowing God that knows all about our situation. And, you know, like I say, I don't always, sometimes I just feel confident, you know, that since, you know, we're just being honest, you know, with myself and with what God is doing, I feel confident that God is helping us. You know, he is with us. He's there for us. And just to understand, I want to be able to understand not just his word, but to understand about God, how he worked and how he worked with mankind and how he deal with us. If I can understand that, begin to understand that more, then I can live for God. I can be at peace about things. Sometimes in life, things get you frustrated sometimes, but I can be at peace with God and knowing that these things, you know, whatever they may be, you know, that may be troubling us, you know, it can work out. You know, God can help us to work through it and get through these things. That's the point. I want to, you know, with God in the picture. You know, just don't leave him out. You know, don't leave God out. Just make sure he's, you know, we are talking to him. And that's my comfort. I mean, I don't have all the answers. I wish that did, but I probably wouldn't take it good if I had them all. So anyway, but I appreciate God tonight, and I appreciate a servant of God that gives us some insight on things sometime and help us to get a little yes, I'm with you. I'm with you, and I appreciate that. You know, I don't, like, we come in service, and we don't always leave, you know, come in shouting and praising God every service, but we know we don't need that either. We just need to know that God is with us, and that God is, he's with us when we're on the mountaintop, and then he's also with us when we're in the valley. So we just to know that, you know, that God is helping us. And that's what I lean on. I lean a lot on the Lord, and I seem like, like I say it, some of it, you know, is just being here a while, you know, being in this world and being among these people and seeing, you know, people, the lives of people that trusted God. And you can see the lives, you know, young people. In my family, people that are sick mostly, they're all a lot younger than me, you know, nieces and nephews. I didn't get to talk to my sister. I got another niece over in Tulsa that's got bad blood clots. My sister called me yesterday and said that she was in the hospital and she had fever, high blood. I mean, just all kind of. I mean, I can't remember all the things she said. And I just told her, I mean, it's just one thing after another. But it seemed like what I'm saying is that a lot of these young folks in my family, you know, they're not serving God. And that's my point, is that people that are serving God, I mean, just my observation of it is when you begin to turn to God and begin to give God your life, I can see the difference. I'm saying I can see their life. I can see the lives of people that are serving God and people that are not. And I've just been able to see that. I've lived long enough to see, and it makes a difference. I tell you what, you can't go wrong. You cannot go wrong serving God. I'll just put it that way. You cannot. You cannot. It's been proven to me. I see it. That if you give God your life, then you cannot. You cannot go wrong. And I appreciate the Lord tonight. I appreciate having an opportunity to serve a God that can touch our lives, that can help us in every situation, no matter what it is. I believe God can help us. So I'm thankful tonight to be a part of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
He said that she took the eye out. She took the eye out bitter and made it better because she took the eye out. She put the church first. She put her family first. She put God above everything else. And I was thinking on that, you know, how you can hold on to a spirit if you hold on to it. But we can choose to turn it over to the Lord. And tonight I was looking over there and Brother and Sister Crow were not there. And then I started thinking Sister Tony was not there. And Sister Wilkins was not there. And Brother Sister Foster was not there. And who? Sister Rice. Sister Key. And all those different ones, you know, that sat right up in that area there. And my husband had already said earlier this week, he said, you know, how they would let the elderly go first. He says, now they're letting him go first. Maybe he's the elderly. I got to thinking, wait a minute. You know, hold on here. And I went to that funeral today, and Brian, back when Brother, in the old building, when Brother Tucker, I remember when Brother Sister Richie came, they had these five children. No, I think two had gotten married, and one had stayed in Texas, and they had one extra because of the daughter-in-law. But I remember the baby boy, Sean, he was just like a little teenager, and the one that played the piano with all that red hair, Brian. And Sean was telling me that he had four grandchildren. I went, no way. And I'm so young. And the more Brother Tyler talks, and the more I thought about it and kept looking at that empty space over there tonight, I got to thinking, you know, time's a ticking. I mean, I'm still holding on, but what am I holding on to and for? I have to set a goal and strive to reach that goal. And they were talking today. They had one poem Sean wrote about Brother Richie and Sister Richie, about the prince meeting the princess and how they fell in love and went on through their youth and had five scrapping boys, and how the princess began to fail. But the prince took heart and began to bring gifts unto the princess. And as she'd get worse, he'd devise another method of and string things through the house and to get her where she needed to be, and to get her to church and build things in the van where she could travel and still have her company. And I thought of all those things that he did for her, and I've always admired Brother Richie, always. I'd ask my husband, we get home, you know, if I get sick, would you take care of me like Brother Richie takes care of Sister Richie? I want you to watch what he's doing, just in case. And I thought about that, and I thought about, you know, him doing unto her and until death do us part, through sickness and through health, that holding on, you know, it's good in a marriage, but what about, you know, my connection with the Lord? Me holding on and going through and through every battle, the things we've been through. I was talking to someone at work one time, and I was telling them about, you know, about my son drowning, and about 20 years later having a child, not knowing where she came from, and then after that trying to go through things with her. And as I was telling him, he said, you need to write a book. He said, you've been through a lot. I said, well, not really. I said, because through it all, I've been sustained. My Heavenly Father has held my hand. He sustained me through every situation, through death, through birth, through life. I know the Father has held my hand. Now, I want to hold on to that thought and thinking of all the different things they were saying today, not only to apply it to the natural, but to apply it to the spiritual, so that I might be able to grow in more and more and more in Christ.
People that I used to go to church with, it was a service that I don't like to go to, but when you go, you have to go. But I got to go to see people, but to pay respects to Sister Richie. That was somebody that spoke with me. I hadn't spoke with in a while, but you know, the good thing is I got to see Sister Richie, knowing that she wasn't suffering. That was one good thing. One thing about Sister Richie, that was said repeatedly, she could be hurting and hurting and hurting, and she still had a smile on her face. She never, ever, ever complained or said anything negative. And her hands was in bad shape. She hurt. And when she'd come in, you could read her face. And though she was, when you said, "How you doing?" she'd change her facial expression just to tell you she's doing fine. And that was one thing about Sister Richie. And it was said that Brother Richie done anything for her. And I don't know if anybody could ever live up to that. I know I can't. I got someone to look at to, I guess, someone to look at to a good example. But that was a good message that we had today for what was said. Sister Tally mentioned the person that was, well, several, they got up, said some poems and that she wrote. Now, that was said, Sister Richie wrote books and books and books of poems, songs, and things. If you'll check your books, you'll see that Sister Richie wrote a lot of songs and poems that you'll find throughout the body of Christ that we have somewhere in our room over here. But we don't ever see them, probably because they wrote when she was in Fort Worth, Texas. But we played some and sung some at Russellville. But the Lord used her back then, and the Lord used her while at Russellville. But the Lord used her to she reached her final goal. And that's one thing that I always looked at. Sister Richie, when I left, I left, and she told me that she will love me to her last day, and that was just recently. And I love her, and I still love that assembly, but I moved on here, and I looked at it that at least everyone still loved me, and it was like I was still part of her when she left, and she's still in my heart. But Brother Richie, he hugged my neck, and he said something of the matter of that she loved you, Brother Craft. And I thought, you know, I was still remembered by Sister Richie. She had such a heart that she loved everyone and throughout the body of Christ. And she thought, and that was mentioned on the songs, about the songs that she always mentioned. So I know, I feel that the service that we had today was so positive about Sister Richie, everything that she had to say, and everything she done over 54 years with Brother Richie. That is something that if anybody could ever grasp that, get a hold of. I know I can't ever make 54 years. I'm 54 years old. I don't think I'm going to make 108. But if I can never make it, maybe I can hold on a couple more years to be positive and set a goal to be a good husband. But Brother Richie, he held on and he treated her. I've seen him do that for Sister Richie. And it was something that I want to try to, that I did learn, but I want to exercise what I've learned. Now I'm wanting to learn more here, but I'm going to put it in a bottle and put it out, pour it out, and use everything that I learned, but what I got here and there, but I want to use what I learned today. But I appreciate what I get every time I go to a service somewhere. Today was a bad but a good service. I got something out of it, but it was a bad that I have to see what I lost.
touching my life. You've opened my eyes. You gave me sight. You placed something deep within that I could overcome all sin. Oh Lord, I thank you for touching my life.
Church will miss Sister Richie. Brother Richie was in Cisco when I went there. When I left Kerrville, Texas, moved up to Ballinger, Texas. Well, we started driving 90 miles to church in Cisco. I don't think we missed very many services. Made all three services every week, and finally moved to Winters, which puts us a little bit closer, and then of course we started the work there a little while later. Brother Richie was there in Cisco with Brother Begley at that time. Of course he was in Fort Worth before that, and if I'm not mistaken, I think he was in Paris, Texas. I may be wrong about that, but I'm thinking he came in with Brother Watson and Brother and Sister Riddle and through the parish church and the Montgomery's. I think they all came in through there, but I may be wrong on the Richies. I know they're from, Brother Richie's from Missouri and up around Kansas City area. But anyway, I got to know him pretty good and him. And, of course, Michael knew all the boys very well there in the Cisco church. And so they've been dear friends of ours for all those years. And it's true. I've never heard Sister Richie complain. She just always endured her suffering and kept a good spirit about it. Sometimes it seems like suffering does that. I watched that was something that was surprising to me about my father. Dad really never got connected to God, really connected to him, until the latter part of his life. And then when he had cancer, terminal cancer, the more he suffered, the sweeter and the more tender he got. And the more dedicated to God he got. He never complained. He never murmured about it. He just talked about how good God was in his life and how much he appreciated God saving him and him not losing out in this life without, you know, knowing the Lord. So I know that sometimes when we look at how we look at it, you know, is not altogether how it's affecting the person that's experiencing it. And so I know God's able to help us to be comforted with things besides suffering, you know, besides what the effect of suffering. So I'm thankful. I've seen that in people's lives. I don't guess any of us want to suffer, but if we have to, I sure want to take it right. If I have to go through suffering, I want it to tenderize me. I know I'm like Brother Tally. I've got confidence, not only confidence, but I trust God. I've served him long enough that I trust him. I used to be a little bit afraid, you know, that if I'd make, you know, some statement about, you know, I want God to give me wisdom. Of course, I've heard all the teachings on that, you know, after I got here. I still want him to give me wisdom. If it does mean trials, I just know he's wise enough. He's not going to put more on me than I can bear. I mean, what, you know, if my little grandson asked me for the keys to the car, it's all right for him to ask me. It doesn't mean I'm going to give them to him. I've got sense enough not to give them to him. God's not going to put you through a bunch of trials just because you ask him for wisdom. He's going to lead you along in his pace and in his time, and you'll learn to be patient and accept that. He's a great God. Of course, when you get close enough to him, you start petitioning for things. He may let you experience some things that you didn't know was part of it. But you'll find in your walk with him that he's a gentle Savior. You'll find that he's a great physician. He's your help. He's a brother that, he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He'll stay with you through death. He'll go through it for you if he can. He'll help you escape it if he can. And he knows what's best. That's what we have to learn to accept, is that God knows what he's doing and his hand's on our lives. All right, is there any announcements before we go home? Saturday morning, 8:30, work day for the men. Bring your tools, Brother Durham said. All of them? All of them you can bring, huh? All right. You might call Brother Boyd or Brother Durham and ask them if you've, you know, got anything on your mind, if they're, you know, to kind of get some insight on what may need to be done. But anyway, we've got We've got the meeting coming up in November. It won't be long. It'll be here. And so we're going to have to get ready for it. Any other announcements that we can think of? Yes, we're already, Brother Tally's already getting, Sister Weiniger got the letter out. I don't know how she done it as fast as she did it, but she did get it done. And Brother Tally's already getting calls for beds. So be thinking about, you know, when I came to this body, I remember going to a minister's meeting in Fort Worth, Texas, where they put me in a home with several other ministers. And we went in there, and the people handed us the keys to the house and the keys to their car. And they left, and they had rented a motel room. And they had, the icebox was full of food. There was fruit and all kinds of sweet things all over, everywhere. I never was so impressed in my life. And people just turned their house over to us. I think we need to get back to some of that. I went many places where, people didn't just give you a bed. They gave you their bed. They gave you the best bed in the house. They slept in the lower places of the house if they stayed there with you. So I think we are to practice charity and love the people of God. These men are the men of God that are coming, and women, ministers, and their wives that God has chosen to lead his people at this time in this world with the great truths that's been revealed to us. I think we're to honor them. I think we're to hold them up high and be in awe that God would give us the opportunity to host a minister's meeting again here in Little Rock. All right, let's all stand and give God a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Oh, God, for your blessings, your hand over our lives, oh, God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, for your watchful eye, your protective hand, oh, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we give you praise. Lead and guide each one of us, Lord, this week. Bring us back Sunday. Your care and keeping, we pray. Amen. All right, shake hands and be friendly.